Hi, folks. Glad you can join us today. We are going to do communion after the message, so I would encourage you just to get some crackers and some juice that you can use to participate in that after. So let's get started. First Sunday of 2021. Have you ever noticed how many trees there are? I mean, just take a look at an aerial shot from across Canada or around BC. If you look at an aerial shot of somewhere in northern BC or Vancouver Island, you would see thousands upon thousands of trees. Each one comes from a little seed or a seedling. They start so small, but many grow to be huge and mighty. A tree will face many challenges over the course of a year. In the spring, there could be an abundance of rain. This makes it very easy for the tree to get all the nutrients it needs to grow tall and strong. Then the summer will come, and there can be a lack of water or even a drought. The trees send its roots out far and deep into the ground to capture any moisture it could possibly get from the soil. After the summer comes strong winds of fall. Those winds whip through the tree branches, testing the strength to stand. And lastly, will come those winter days with their heavy, wet snow. The snow might be so heavy that the branches are strained under the weight. The tree doesn't know what will come from one day to the next. It does know that the year will bring growth. The tree will grow. Isn't that a lot like us? For we read in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." I mean, who would have predicted or thought that we would have experienced a worldwide pandemic in 2020? Yet, not just 2020, but every year brings us an opportunity to grow in our Christian walk. Maybe that is why the Bible uses the trees to illustrate the life of Christian. In Psalm, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 1:3, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever it does prospers." Then in Jeremiah 17, verse 8, we read, "He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." The psalmist also wrote in Psalm 92, verse 12, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon." Do you know this verse, the palm tree in this verse, is talking about a date palm. And they would grow up to 40 to 60 feet tall. And the cedars of Lebanon, they might have reached a height of 130 feet. It took years for them to get this big. And each year, many different challenges, which they could not predict. They grew in height and stature and became majestic. The writer says the righteous, the Christian, will grow to be like these majestic trees. Yet, how do we grow? Well, we know there are many ways in which we grow as a Christian, but I'd like to take a look at just two areas today. Let's look at that of grace and knowledge. For Peter instructs us in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He exhorts us to grow in the grace, not in just any grace and knowledge, but in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So let's start with grace. And I think if we're going to start with grace, we need to know what grace is. And so here are some common definitions of grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is a sacrificial gift given to someone who hasn't earned it and can't pay it back. For we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus paid the price. He took our punishment for our sins upon himself, so we could receive forgiveness for those sins and eternal life with our loving Heavenly Father. Without a question, that falls into the definition of grace. We receive something we didn't deserve. We receive forgiveness and eternal life when we deserved eternal damnation and separation from God. We received it at the expense of Jesus suffering on the cross. It is something we could never earn, no matter what we did, no matter how many good deeds we did. And we surely do not have any way to pay back the grace extended to us. Yet, grace did not end there. That's not all there is to grace. If it were, why would Peter have instructed us to grow in the grace of Jesus? No, there is so much more. And that is probably why John 1:14 proclaims Jesus is full through, leading up to his crucifixion and the crucifixion itself. It was brutal, to say the least. Now think of Jesus' words as he hung there, crucified on the cross. What were his words? We've heard them so many times. Father, forgive them. Who was he asking the Father to forgive? Was it those who yelled, crucify him? Yes. How about those who pulled out his beard? Yes. What about those who crushed the thorn of crowns on his head? Was he asking the Father to forgive them? Yes. Those who beat him, mocked him, spat upon him? Those who drove the nails through him? Yes, 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 and yes. As Jesus did not separate the sins, but asked the Father to forgive all of them. In fact, Jesus is asking the Father to forgive everyone who sinned throughout history until he comes back again. For it was every sin ever committed, your sin, my sin, the sins of the world, those sins nailed Jesus to the cross. Now, that is the grace of Jesus, which we are to grow in. We need to forgive everyone as we have been forgiven. We are to forgive all sins. We can't say we will forgive this particular list of sins, but we won't forgive this sin. This is over and above. This is too much. It doesn't mean we accept the sin or what was done, but we do offer forgiveness even when we might think the person doesn't even deserve it. That is what the grace of Jesus does. It doesn't mean it's easy. In fact, at times it's downright hard and just about impossible. Right now, we might not even be able to forgive a certain person. That is why we need to grow in the grace of Jesus. The grace of Jesus was not confined to forgiveness. I mean, his kindness was saturated with grace. Over and over, we see it in the Bible. The blind man came to ask for mercy, and Jesus healed him. Think of the time the centurion came to ask Jesus to come and heal his servant. I mean, the centurion really recognized that he wasn't even worthy of Jesus coming in to his house, never mind healing his servant. Yet Jesus heals the man's servant that very moment. Jesus' kindness is filled with grace. His kindness is something he did and does, not looking to be repaid for it. We could talk about Jesus feeding the thousands, raising the widow's son back to life, driving out demons, and other events of kindness. All were done because Jesus was full of grace. Jesus' kindness is continually being poured out upon us every day. His mercies are new every morning, and it is all through his grace, as we do not deserve it at all. He's not looking for anything in return. He's just pouring out his kindness, filled with grace. I believe that the church attracts more people to the kingdom of God through acts of kindness than any other method of evangelism. I don't think there's anything else that attracts as many people as the kindness of the Christian to those outside the kingdom. When we grow in the grace of Jesus, our lives are filled with kindness towards others. And we need to continue to grow in the grace of Jesus. There's more. The grace of Jesus extends through him serving others. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We all know that Jesus served his disciples by washing their feet. Can you imagine? The King of Kings comes in and he wraps a towel around him and he gets down and he washes his disciples' feet. Aren't the disciples supposed to wash the master's feet? But out of grace, they didn't deserve Jesus to wash their feet, but he did. If Jesus had shown up at our home last week when we had that big snowfall, and he came in and he went to shovel our sidewalk, what would you have done? Would you have just politely said, well, thank you for coming and shoveling my sidewalk? No, probably not. We would take the shovel from Jesus because we would not even feel worthy to have him serve us in that manner. I know that's a foolish illustration, but the fact is, Jesus serves us each and every day. He protects us. He provides for us. He leads us. He mentors us. And on it goes. To grow in the grace of Jesus is to serve others, no matter who they are. It does not matter if they are the wealthy, the homeless, an addict, an employee, a child, a senior. It doesn't matter. We are called to grow in grace by serving them all as equals. To grow in grace, to grow in his character. His grace is saturated. It saturates his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Think about that for a moment. Take some time this afternoon and just think about those characteristics of Jesus and think about which ones we actually deserve. I think as we think and ponder those, we would realize we don't deserve any of them. Yet those are the things Jesus pours out upon us. Jesus freely displays all these to us with grace. We don't deserve anything from him, but through his grace, we experience it all. Just imagine what 2021 will be like as we grow in the grace of Jesus. Oh, we'll be able to handle so many situations. We'll be able to stand strong for the kingdom of God. And Peter goes on to instruct us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. The writer of Proverbs 18 verse 15 wrote, "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ear of the wise seek it out." While Jeremiah 9:24 declares, "But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." We are to acquire and seek knowledge. The knowledge that the writer is talking about is the knowledge of the Lord intimately. Yes, you know exactly where I'm going with this. To seek knowledge, to acquire knowledge, to grow in the knowledge of Jesus, there is only one way to do it. We must spend time with him in reading the Bible, studying his word, praying and experiencing walking with him. The truth is, as we read and study the Bible, we grow in the knowledge of Jesus. which means we can share the gospel with others without taking things out of context or twisting verses around that to mean something they're not supposed to mean. We will be able to present it clearly for others to follow. Growing in the knowledge allows us to correctly handle the Word of God. And we won't be tossed around by different winds of doctrine. We will know where we stand and what the truth is. Also, we grow in knowledge through experience. You know, it's one thing to read about praying for the sick to be healed, but it is a way more of a life changer when we actually do pray for someone who needs a healing. That is an incredible. I remember being on the BC Ferries once, going to a conference, and we prayed for somebody. I was just a new Christian, and this group of men, we prayed for somebody on the ferry. Man, that was an experience I will never forget. But it's even a greater experience and a greater builder of faith and grace and knowledge when we see the person we prayed to be healed and we see them healed. See, experience reveals the validity of the knowledge we have learned. It shows that we believe it and that we act upon it. Unfortunately, far too many Christians know a way more than they act upon. But growing in knowledge gives a sure foundation. So when the strong winds of doubt come, we might bend in the wind, but we will not topple. We are only at the start of 2021. Maybe you need everything's good in your Christian walk, and right now it's all joy and great. Maybe you're in a season where the ground seems dry and hard, and nothing seems to feed your Christian walk. Doesn't seem to matter what you do. You just can't break through. It could be that you're in a time of fall or winter where the winds of doubt are pushing you around, or the heaviness of the wet trials are weighing down your branches. In fact, you are not even sure if those branches are going to hold or break. Let me share that whatever season you're in, it will change. And we really don't know what the days of 2021 will bring. Yet we know who holds the days. And we know that every day will bring an opportunity to grow. When we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, we will send our roots deep into our Father, and we'll be able to withstand the storms which we may encounter. And as we take the opportunity to grow, we become, like Isaiah wrote, we will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That's all that growth is. It's to display the splendor and the greatness of our Lord and our Savior, of our Father, to the world around us. This year, 2021, as we grow, as we take those opportunities to grow, can be one of the most amazing years we've ever experienced. So now we're going to go into communion, and I want to just share with you, and I'm just going to share briefly because we've talked about a grace so much. And that's what grace is all about. Grace is about the cross and what Jesus did for us. That we didn't deserve that. That he suffered and paid the penalty. And he extended it all to us. Everything he did. It's God's goodness to us. It's the Father's goodness to us at the expense of Jesus. That's hard to fathom sometimes. That's hard to accept. But that's what grace is. Sometimes grace is, we find it hard to accept because of our human nature. We want to be able to pay back and not owe anything. But the truth is, the grace of the cross, it's a debt we will never be able to repay. It was for you, for me, it was for the world. For God so loved the world. So as you take those elements that you have, I would encourage you to just take a moment and pray. And then I'm going to, right now, from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray for the grace. The grace that came through the body of Jesus Christ was extended to each one of us. May we never forget it, Lord. May this emblem of the body remind us of that together. And then he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Pray again. Father, your grace is revealed in this emblem that we are taking of the blood that was shed for our sins. For your word says that there, without blood, there is no life. Lord, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus did for us on the cross. Thank you for that grace, because we can't pay it back. In Jesus' name, let us partake together. For it says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And what it's saying is really, for whenever we take communion, we proclaim the grace of Jesus, until we see him. No wonder we read that My grace is sufficient. Thank you, Father, for the grace that is so sufficient. Lord, may 2021 be an amazing year. I mean, we struggled through 2020, but really your grace was there every day, every moment of 2020. And your grace will be with us every day and every moment of 2021. So, Lord, we just ask that we would grow in that grace. Growing is a daily thing. And we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus so that we can be mighty and majestic for you, that others would see the kingdom of God, that they would know that we believe. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless. Have a wonderful week, folks. Thanks for listening.